All right, Jeremiah. Jeremiah, we're going to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. Good morning, everyone. I want to do a message. As we continue in looking at the true and living God, I want to talk about today's captivity. I suppose everyone is in captivity this morning. Elgin said yesterday for me to cut out cardboard figures of each of you and put them on the chairs in front of me. So anyway, I won't do that. But we are this morning going to have a look in the series we have been doing on the true and living God. I do want to thank the Lord how He works things out. I did not plan to be doing a message this morning on captivity. Normally, the Lord, as you know, gives me the messages and the thoughts He wants for us prior, and it just happens to fall that we are today going to be talking about the idea of being in captivity, as we've been looking at Israel going into that 70-year Babylon captivity. And I do want to start off here just before I read Jeremiah 29. I just want to read Isaiah 55:8, where God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." It's really important for us as believers to realize and understand the God we serve, the one who has saved you. He does not think the way you and I do think, and His ways are not our ways. But however, God's ways and His thoughts are far better than what you and I could ever think. So as our opening verse here in our message, the true and living God, I read you here in Jeremiah 29, and Jeremiah, prior to writing this, writes this from Jerusalem, and he's writing this before King Nebuchadnezzar comes down and besieges Jerusalem the first, second, and third time. But here, Jeremiah the prophet, who was probably a young man, he writing to the Jews, to telling them that God's plan for them is to go into captivity and not to listen to the false prophets. And he says here in verse 10, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place." So prior to the captivity, and I want you to understand, God sends His man, His prophet, and He tells them the end. In other words, he's giving the children of Israel an end to the captivity that they're about to go into. I suppose it's good to know that anything that we do go into, there is an end to look forward to. I know the world at the moment is looking forward to an end, and looking forward to the end of this virus. But there have been worse plagues than that and so forth. But let me just go on here. For the Bible says here, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you," and notice the wording, "an expected end." So understand here, as you read your Bible and we study, the subject of the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, and how the prophet here gave the Jews an expected end. And if you remember, as we go through this, they were not allowed. They were to follow the prophet Jeremiah as he told them to go into captivity. Now, as we go through this, I want to have a look this morning at the idea of going into captivity. All of us have some sort of all of us are in something that maybe you and I don't want to be in. And sometimes we do pray that there is an expected end. Understand our Lord, He is the engineer, He knows our lives, He knows us, He loves us, He saved us, and all those sort of things. There is an expected end. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Here the prophecy of Babylon is fulfilled. Well, as mentioned, that Daniel was in captivity for 70 years, and then he comes out the other side. Now just come over to me with Jeremiah 27, and go down to verse 8. Just a little bit more about Jeremiah, the prophet, a little bit more about him this morning. So, hope we're doing all right. Okay, Jeremiah 27, verse 8. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for the prophecy, for they prophesy a lie unto you, to remove you far from your land, that I should drive you out, and ye should perish. But we just read the expected end there, that God was going to take them back after 70 years, and his thoughts to them were good. And as we study the last part of the Old Testament, which is the book of Daniel, obviously we're going to tie it in with the book of Revelation. Now, if you have a chance this week, I'll put up the first supplementary lesson or eschatology dealing with 70 years and the 70 weeks. I want to make this really clear. Before you get into Revelation, you do need to get this right. You need to get what we're dealing with here before you go into the book of Revelation. And there's a reason for that. The book of Revelation is a fantastic book, and it's, and praise God for it, amen. It does give you an expected end. But also it's prophecy, and it's prophecy that hasn't been fulfilled yet, amen. And can I just say, like right here, the misuse of the book of Revelation is a misuse by false prophets. In other words, God hasn't sent these people to teach some of the stuff that they're teaching today because it's totally out of context. It's nothing to do with understanding the book of Daniel. It's nothing to do with the word of God, amen. It's nothing to do with learning and understanding this part of the Bible first. If you get this part of the Bible first, the book of Revelation will be a greater blessing to you than it is now, because you have a greater foundation then to work off and understand. But a false prophet is always someone who takes the Bible and they take it out of context. They don't study to show themselves approved unto God. They don't rightly divide the word of God. In fact, they get very upset with lessons like we're doing at the moment with the last book of Daniel and the last book of Revelation. And they don't want to know it because they always say, this is the little saying they always say, and the Lord gave me this. Yeah, the Lord didn't give you anything unless you study your Bible and you put it in context, amen? And so the whole idea with the true and living God, we need to get back to what the Bible teaches. Now, there's a tremendous lesson here in this study, because as we just read, where the prophet Jeremiah had given Israel an expected end, what a blessing it is to know that his thoughts towards us aren't bad, but his thoughts towards us are always good, not evil. So the false prophets are the ones, or the false preaching and teaching today give us a false message, and they largely get it all wrong, because they think captivity is some sort of a judgment, where rather, really here, God was actually putting an end to the wickedness that was in Israel in the divided kingdom. And he said, there's enough of that. And what he did, he pulled them out, his people, he put them under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, and he tells them there to abide in the land. Let me just read on a couple more things here so we can understand. Verse 10, for the prophecy, for they prophesy a lie unto you. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, verse 11, and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. If you come back over to Jeremiah with me in verse 11, where he says, where he said to them, I will visit you and perform, yes, then verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Something great in your belief, in the believer's life, to know that your Lord, your Savior, your God, is going to give you an expected end. Then shall he call upon me, and he shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and he shall seek me and find me. Amen. And when he shall search for me with your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you up from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. And so so they do that. Come back to, say, 27. I'll keep going down to verse, come back down to, Jeremiah 27 again. And in verse 12, he says there, I spake also to Zedekiah, king of Judah. This is one of the last kings in Israel. According to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, serve him and his people and live. So here's Jeremiah's prophecy. He's saying, do this and live. Why will he die? Well, good question. Why do you want to listen to a false prophet? Why do you want to listen to these preachers that have messages that aren't even dealing with the Word of God? He said, die. And the people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence of the Lord, have spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon. Therefore, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord. You really got to get that in your mind today, that these people aren't set. Yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, that ye might perish. Ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you. I spake to the priest and to all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, hearken not to the words of your prophets that prophesy unto you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. We know that the vessels were still in Babylon, because you remember the son of Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, was having that great party, and he brought in all the vessels, and they were praising the gods of silver and gold, amen. And right there and then, that king looked over again on the wall and they saw the writing on the wall. Basically, that was the end of Babylon. Now, that was then for the Persians and Medes took over. Hearken not unto them, serve the king of Babylon, live. Wherefore should this city be laid waste? But if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord, in the house of the king of Judah, and at Jerusalem not go to Babylon. In other words, well, let's put a little bit of fire to this prophecy that you guys are saying. In other words, prove it. That's what Jeremiah is saying. Well, if you think that the vessels can come back from Babylon, you make intercession. And that didn't happen, as we know. But here's the idea, though, that when you read this, that they were to go into captivity and they were to live, and they were to pray for the peace of the city. That's what God told them. Now, what one of the things is here, the lesson that we do get, is the idea then for them was that they were to go into captivity, but there were some that were going to rebel. Now, obviously today that you could say we're in a little bit of a same situation where probably people do want to obey or disobey the governments or rebel. Now, there's nothing. I'm not going to put whether all the governments are right or not. But in 2 Peter 2:10 it says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Here's the thing, whether as believers you and I might not like the fact that we can meet together, and it is a shame that we can't have Isabel here and the music and sing amen and just the fellowship that we have in our church, praise the Lord, and it is a real blessing, but we miss that. But at the same time, you've got to understand that governments are put in by God, which we'll look at, and we are not to rebel. Though you could imagine that from Jerusalem, that the Jews that rebelled, what happened to their life? Well, they were destroyed. They perished in Jerusalem. If they were going to captivity, they were safe. Get under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. Can I just say this to young believers? You get saved And then you don't like going in captivity and becoming a prisoner of the Lord. You want to run from him. Go back to the bondage that you were once in by your sin. Get back into the world again, amen? Rather than understanding that the Lord does have a life for you and I now as believers, amen? I'm not now to live my old life. I'm now to live a new life in Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And you know what most believers do? Run. Oh, I'm saved now. I can just go and live as I like and God will take care of me. Can I just make this really clear that this promise of God looking after them under the oak of Nebuchadnezzar is conditional? In other words, obey the prophet, go into captivity, and God will take care of them. He gave them the promise and an expected end. Do you know that your Christian life is conditional? You're saved. You and I are now belong to who? Jesus Christ. We now can't just take that vessel and do what we wish with it. It's his. We don't want to be carried off by the world, amen, like the vessels were into Babylon. So if you want to have peace as a believer, don't run from the Lord. Amen. It's tough, isn't it? Oh, well, God's just going to take care of me. Well, and if you listen to the false prophets, and that's what they thought, and they perished. Yet those that went into Babylon lived. By the way, Daniel was in captivity. He was in captivity from, and I'll just read you this, he was in captivity right through. Bible says that, and Daniel continued even to the first year of King Cyrus. So that's 73 years or so he was in captivity. It's interesting though, but Daniel was a great man that now he's under the reign of the Persians and the Medes, and he understood by the... And I'll just come over to Daniel 9 with me. Just come over to Daniel 9. Daniel 9. We haven't got to the book of Daniel yet, where Daniel gives the interpretation of the... I was given the dream and the interpretation that Nebuchadnezzar had in the beginning. But I want you to see in verse 1 of Daniel 9, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. So you remember that there was the Persians and Medes, it was a divided kingdom, or it was a kingdom run by Ahasuerus and King Cyrus. It was the image where you had the folded arms, where the golden head was Nebuchadnezzar, which we'll do a supplementary lesson on that this week on the image, and we'll continue more in Daniel next week. But I just want you to understand here that now... That you remember Daniel went in to the king and he gave that interpretation into the dream and God lifted Daniel up. He became a prince in Babylon in captivity, just the same as Joseph did. But in verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years wherefore the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So in other words, Daniel understood. He understood the prophecies of Jeremiah, and because he understood the prophecies of Jeremiah, Daniel never went back to Jerusalem. He stayed. He stayed as a minister or a prime minister under the Cyrus, and he did that, and he did that for a reason, because God used Daniel then to send forth the commandment that Cyrus sent out that the Jerusalem would be rebuilt again under the two books, say, of Nehemiah and Ezra. I won't get into all that right at the moment, but I want you to understand that Daniel stayed in captivity for that full period of time. Was he okay? Yeah. Because God's thoughts to him were good. You know, it's interesting when you look at Daniel, who's another person you think of in captivity? Joseph. And remember Joseph? He was sold into slavery because he was a dreamer. And you remember the ups and downs of Joseph's life, where he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He ended up in jail and he was forgotten by the one that was delivered from by Pharaoh, where the other one lost his head. And finally Pharaoh looked in the books and Joseph was brought out of the prison. And while Joseph was in prison, he was favoured by the jailer. He was made the head there. He was made the head in Potiphar's house. And then finally Joseph was, as you know, was made second in the kingdom to Pharaoh during the time of the droughts or the famines, and the 7-year famine where Joseph laid up for the 7-year famine. He laid up for 7 years for that 7-year famine, and he did that. And you remember Joseph's brothers and the story of how he caught them when they came up to get food from Canaan. And after Jacob had died and his brothers were left with Joseph, they thought now that Joseph would punish them because they had been the ones who had put him in the pit. They were the ones who allowed him to be sold into slavery, and they were the ones who lied to their father. And yet right through the book, when you read the story of Joseph, God was with him. Remember, Joseph was the one who also said there was a God in heaven to Pharaoh and interpreted the dream he had about the famine. But I want you to understand right at the end of that period, and you come to that thought where now his brethren are pleading before Joseph, actually kneeling down before him as he prophesied. But as for you, this is what Joseph said, ye thought evil against me, that God made it unto good to bring to pass it is this day to save much people alive. You know, the story of Joseph, there was an expected end. When you read Daniel, it's the same, but it's conditional. Go into captivity and you'll be safe. Could you imagine today now if believers would get back to the Word of God again and the Bible and stop living this backslidden, unchristian life, amen? Because really, if you want to be truthful about it, we've had great prosperity, say, since the Second World War. Well, God might put a lid on this thing soon. And if it does, I pray that people will get back to realizing that, you know, just because we're in a good time, what happens when all things are good? What do most people do when everything's fine? Do they listen to the Bible or do they listen to the false prophets? They listen to the false prophets. Why? Oh, well, everything's good. I don't need God now. Everything's fine. I don't need the Lord. And yet God might come along and say, you do need me, and you do need to get to church on Sundays. You need to read your Bible. You need to understand what the word sanctification means. You need to understand that I'm your Savior. I'm your God. I saved you from the pit of hell. You now need to understand. You need to live for me now by faith. Amen. There wasn't a choice for Jesus Christ. He had a choice at the cross. Amen. Which we'll look at in a moment. But you know, Daniel stayed in through, he prophesied from that image, which we'll look at next week, of the prophecies up to the first advent, where that image was of the image had a golden head, which was Babylon. That was, that was around about 536 BC. And then the image also had the arms in silver, which was Persia, for 330 BC. And then the belly and the thighs were made of brass, which was Greece or Greek under Alexander the Great, 100 years BC. And then Rome, the legs and iron, the feet and the clay, which is 56 BC. And obviously that brought us right up to the first advent. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ was cut off. Now have a go through the lesson I did on Wednesday to look at that. And Jesus Christ was cut off. That was the end of the Lord's earthly ministry. Rome had destroyed him. Amen. He was born in those time of those kingdoms because he was born when Rome was in power. But aren't you thankful to know that Jesus Christ is going to come back again? Amen. And he will take care of he'll take care of that. It's interesting that when that Daniel now is stays in after captivity, he stayed there, and I won't go there at the moment. I don't want to get us ahead too far in this lesson, but understand that Daniel stayed. He did not return to Jerusalem. The book of Isaiah talked about King Cyrus, prophesied of him, that thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open for him the two levered gates, and the gates shall not be shut. You know, there's a prophecy of Cyrus, how that was the end of the Babylonian kingdom right there, but you realize that God called Cyrus the servant of the Lord. It was Daniel who would have told Cyrus, and it was Cyrus who gave the commandment to go forth for the Jews to go back and to rebuild Jerusalem again, just as Jeremiah prophesied. Pretty neat, isn't it? So the prophecies of Jeremiah were fulfilled under King Cyrus, prophesied in Isaiah. Think about the prophet Jeremiah prophesied the end of the 70 years before it was accomplished. Think about Daniel. He's a prophet. He prophesied about the image of the head, the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Greeks Empire, and the Roman Empire right up to the first advent over a period of 600 years, and his prophecies were fulfilled. Why is it so hard for people to believe the Bible? Amen. Isaiah prophesied about the children, the king's seed going into captivity. Here Isaiah prophesies about Cyrus. These are hundreds of years before the events took place. Wow. And yet there's some great lessons you and I can learn from understanding some of the Old Testament. So Daniel also, when he was in captivity, and this is where I'm going to go with the lesson, while he was in captivity, the image, which we'll do next week, was revealed to Daniel. Because Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel too had this terrible dream, and he asked for interpretation from the magicians and the soothsayers and everyone. They couldn't answer it. He couldn't even remember the dream. We'll look at that next week. But Daniel prophesied it. And there you have a Jewish boy in captivity, and this is where I want us to understand. In captivity, there's a prophecy of God's plan for the ages, and also the prophecy of the kingdom made without hands in Daniel 2:44, because in Daniel 2:44, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. I'll do that lesson on Wednesday for you on Wednesday. But here's what I want to say: there are some great things that come out of captivity. What do you mean, Brother Simon? Well, you didn't find out any of this without the captivity, because Daniel goes into captivity. Do you remember the book of Job? I'll just go over to the book of Job. Go to Job chapter 42 and verse 10. You remember the book of Job? Wasn't Satan allowed to persecute Job? Didn't Job lose everything while he was under persecution? Wasn't he in captivity? And you read the book of Job, and at the end of the book of Job it says, Bible says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Aren't you glad to know that the Bible says we have an expected end? Amen. You can go through something, and it could be something you and I don't understand, because God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And yet we go through something, I don't like it, I just got saved, say, it's just not turning out the way I wanted to. I'm going to now run from God. And while you're running from the Lord, all he's doing is putting you into captivity. And he's got you exactly where he wants you, because that's exactly the thing that the Bible teaches us, that Nebuchadnezzar had to learn the same lesson, that it was God who raised him up. Amen. Here Job has been under persecution by Satan. And you have the 42 chapters here, a picture of that tribulation period. Then came there unto him his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and everyone an earring of gold. And as you read on, the latter end of Job was far greater than the beginning. Amen. And this is what I want to say to us as believers. Obey God now, no matter how you feel or think about it. Trust him as the Lord. Do what he wants. Follow his precepts. Understand the Lord. And I will guarantee you, he will bring you out to an expected end. Amen. Because this is the Bible, not this other stuff that is being taught. Now, so there's an expected end. The prophecies of the first and second advent, Messiah being cut off. Have a think about the Messiah being cut off. Who was that? Jesus Christ. Come over to me to Matthew chapter 27 for a moment. Matthew chapter 27. Have a look here in Matthew 27. Let's see, Matthew 27, and we'll go down to verse 19, everyone. Verse 19, Matthew 27, verse 19. Matthew 27, verse 19. Can't find it myself. Here we go. Okay, have a look at this. When he was set down on the judgment, this is judgment seat, this is Pilate. This is Jesus Christ being cut off, as mentioned by Daniel. So when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." So here Jesus Christ is before the judgment. And Pilate's wife runs in and says, "Hey, the Lord's been speaking to me. Have nothing to do with this just man." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And that's exactly what Daniel prophesied. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of twain will he that I release unto you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." So Jesus Christ was cut off. Come over to John chapter 19 with me as you look at that. John chapter 19. And while Jesus Christ is in judgment under Pilate, one of the greatest truths you and I can know as a believer, I think this is the greatest truth of the Word of God, and we've been looking at some of this. But have a look here in John 19:11. In John 19:11, and we'll come down to verse, and now Pilate, say in verse 10, "Save unto him, speak thou not unto me." So Pilate being in power, knowest not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to what? Release thee. Notice what Jesus Christ says. Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from where? Above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee have the greater sin." Do you know who God chose to look after his people in captivity? Nebuchadnezzar. What did Nebuchadnezzar have to learn in Daniel chapter 5 or 4? He had to learn that it was the God of heaven that put him there. What did Pilate have to realize? He had no power at all except the God of heaven allowed it. Amen? That is the greatest truth you and I can understand about Jesus Christ. That is the greatest truth you and I can understand about the Bible. It is God sets up kingdoms. He sets up people where he wants them. The Bible says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, amen? And he can turn it wherever so he will. And you know, we should pray for governments at the moment. We have governments. God can change the heart of a king because he set them up. And you think about Jesus Christ, he's gone into captivity. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:8, they said, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What do you mean? They had no understanding that in captivity, that in judgment, that Jesus Christ had been cut off, that he defeated Satan, amen, out of captivity. Yeah, the hardest choice for Jesus Christ was not going through the cross as the Son of God, as Chambers said, but as the Son of Man and failing. The greatest things that come out of captivity is you and I's salvation. The Lord was captive. He was crucified. Think about it. God's door in heaven is open for you and I, and we can pray now to the Lord whatever situation we're going through. Think about Jeremiah. He said, my thoughts towards you are. That's what Jeremiah said, my thoughts that I think towards you. This is God thinking towards us, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Do you know that God told them there in Jeremiah to pray for King Babylon, for the Babylon, the kingdom there, that they could live peaceably? You know, Christians, we should pray to our governments that we can live peaceably. Amen? Not rebellious. Think about Paul. The greatest truths for the Christian life, think about it, are in the Pauline epistles. Most of Paul's writings were from where? Prison. While he was in where? Captivity. What did Paul say? I am the prisoner of the Lord. Have a think about the book of Revelation. How God uses captivity has an expected end. Here you have John, the beloved, on the Isle of Patmos. Patmos was a prison. It's obviously where John, I don't think John ever left that prison. But out of the Isle of Patmos, what do you get? The book of Revelation. And you know the book of Revelation? It gives us the end. The expected end. You know the last couple of verses of Revelation is, even so come Lord Jesus. At the end of Revelation, you know what's going to happen? God's going to set up the kingdom that was made without hands, that was shown to Daniel in Daniel chapter 2. Here you have a whole book that shows us that if we obey God, he has an expected end for us. Even if you and I have to go through captivity, we might not understand it, but I'll guarantee you one thing, do not fight or rebel against it. And your God, your Savior, will bring you through. And isn't it neat when the Lord does this? How many of you have been through things you just don't like doing? Amen? How many of you just wake up in the morning, I'm going to live after my flesh and I'm not going to follow the Lord today? Well, you can be in bondage to your flesh all day if you want to be, amen? But you could get up in the morning and say, no, I'm going to serve the Lord today and do what he wants me to do. What do you mean? Well, isn't sometimes life hard? Sometimes our vocation's hard? Let me just be honest with you. I'm thinking right at the moment, those who are on the front line, say in medicine and all that stuff, aren't they the ones that are doing a hard, aren't they the ones suffering at the moment? Are they not in captivity? Yeah, amen. But God, can God bring them through? Of course he can. Why? Just for us being faithful to the ministries and the vocations that he's given us to do. You know where it all goes wrong? People run from the will of God and what God has for them. You know, that's a blessing to know. And we need to know and that understand from Daniel. So Daniel is dealing then with captivity. I know most of you know your Bible. Think about the lesson today. Have a think about the Lord yourself and realize there is an expected end. Sometimes that expected end can be a long time. But understand and take Jeremiah 29:11, where Jeremiah the prophet had prophesied far before and given them the expected end before they even went into captivity. saying that the Lord's thoughts towards us are of peace and not of evil, to give us an expected end. You know, that's a great comfort for the believer to know. I don't really personally believe that the time we're going through is of any real great deal. It is an inconvenience, and it's nothing like we have seen in the past, especially the Spanish flu. In fact, in the Spanish flu, the government's actually allowed the soldiers to die. There was nothing like what they went through and we're going through now. So I just pray that maybe through this week I'll do some more on this lesson of Daniel chapter 2. I'll put that up on Wednesday. Don't forget, have a look at the one on the 70 weeks and the 70 years, and hopefully then as we get more into this Bible lesson, we can start filling in the gaps, and hopefully the expected end then is for us to understand the book of Revelation more clearly and understand that. So let's just pray. Father, thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And I'll just...